And now, entering the ring, Jason Hughes, Dustin Dougie Campbell, and Jason Papaw White, the Triple Threat, here on the Strong Booking Podcast.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Strong Booking. Just one second, I'm going to get set up here real quick, and we'll get this thing started. I always have to make sure I share it. Oh, turn my volume down, too. All right, guys, I just want to start everything off and go ahead and thank our two sponsors for this week. Blue Ridge Carpentry, owned and operated by Sean Newsom. If you guys need any work done, just give this guy a call at 606-230-9566. I'm pretty sure you can do about anything you want.
From what I can tell,
I've seen his work, and he does amazing work. So at affordable prices, so just give this guy a call for a free estimate. He gives free estimates. So, and then our other sponsor, Elite Heating and Cooling. These guys are a heating and cooling company. You know, they can do anything for your HVAC needs. They also work on refrigeration. And they're just good guys, you know, and they always do fair business. If you guys need any HVAC needs or refrigeration needs, just give them a call at 886-3535. And that's Christian and Chad Hall, and I think Zach Key works for them. And then I forget the other boy's name, but we just call him Christian's lookalike because he looks like Christian.
Yeah, he does. He's his doppelganger.
Yeah. So I just want to point something out real quick before we start. And Kevin posted something earlier, and I really liked it. But people's been going online, and we've just been getting a lot of just all podcasts, really, not just us. But there's been a lot of hate and stuff. I just think it's negative. Like, why are people so negative in the world? Like,
I don't know. I'm just we're just out here trying to spread our word on the rest of the business.
That. It's like, I mean, you should have a good word for anybody, really. Like, the world would probably be a little bit better place if everybody had a good word for everybody.
Love thy neighbor.
Yeah, love thy neighbor, exactly. You know, you might not have something in common. You might not like what the person is doing. There's no need to go and trash them online. I mean, it's just, like, you got to think about people's feelings. Like, you might not think you're hurting people's feelings, but, I mean, you are. So, I just want to throw that out there. You know, everybody, let's be kind. So, you got anything to say, Jason, before we start?
I'd just like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Anybody that got out last night, and I know there was a BCW event down in Paintsville last night, and we got one of our good friends, Chad Hall. He gave us some updates on it because we weren't able to attend last night due to work. We got a little busy here last night, but I know Adam Newsom regained his BCW heavyweight championship against Ross Bray last night. David Anthony, I believe, beat Duke Allstriker last night, I think's what he told me. And I know Kobe Carmichael won a very entertaining match, he told me. And, BCW, they put on some good events. It looked like they had a decent crowd last night. I saw some I saw some pictures. I know Adam posted some videos of some stuff he done last night. Looked like they had a pretty good crowd last night. I know me and Jason were able to go about a month ago and watch one. And it was a good show. But, if anybody's out there, you get a chance, I would go down and check out a BCW event. They, $7 to get in. Kids under, I believe, 5 get in free.
Adam just said they had a packed house at the rec center, so that's awesome, guys. We hate that we had to miss it, but sometimes responsibilities, work gets in the way.
Gets in the way. We got a hard-nosed boss. He kind of don't let us get out of here when we want to.
Well, he might like that for
him. That's all right. I know him. I know him personally.
You can say that.
But
I appreciate him for the work he gives me.
But I know we're looking at going forward, working something out.
Yes, we do appreciate it.
Yeah. We're going to work something out with BCW. I think we've talked about maybe in the summer doing a live podcast from one of their events and stuff.
That's going to be great.
I just noticed, too, that Kevin threw some different camera angles at us, and it really threw me off.
Yeah, and I was looking down, and it was, like, right on my face just
right
a second.
On you
I was
for
like,
a minute.
I was that, like, I'm back on camera.
Am I right? Yeah, there you are again. So,
cool. Producer Kevin, he's throwing some curveballs out here.
I like it.
So
we'll go ahead and start here. And thank you, Justin Maynard, for the compliment, man. We're just all wrestling fans, so we like covering wrestling. And that's all we talk about at work when this guy's not talking about the Witcher game anymore. So
If we're going to talk about it, might as well put it on camera and let everybody else feedback on it.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Kind of makes it a purpose.
It's just our point. Or it's just our opinions too. Like nothing we say is like you can't take it to heart because
it is what it is.
It is what it is. But Cody Little asked a question, and I think that's a good question, Cody. He asked, "What is AEW's biggest pay-per-view event?" And
I'd like to know that too.
I'm going
to
say either it's a Double or Nothing or the All Out.
Well, with four, I mean, you could have.
I would say all four of them, really.
Four WrestleManias.
Cody, they only have four each year. That's their kind of their thing. They don't want to oversell the pay-per-views, so they're just doing four.
Everything
so you can
they
say
do,
everything. All four of their pay-per-views are big.
Everything they do is a throwback to the old school.
Sean said All everything. Out.
I kind of agree with Sean. Yeah. You went with when it first started, before AEW was even born, you had All In. And then they went with All Out after that. I mean, it's – All Out, I think, is going to be their WrestleMania. Double or Nothing is probably going to be like their SummerSlam. You know, their.
It kind of feels like All Out to me. Yeah. Just because All In was the first thing they ever done. Like
All In was a great pay per view all the way around. I loved it.
Kobe's watching. Thank you for watching, Kobe. Yeah, Cody, you're right. Four is plenty. WWE has way too many, especially these days, because none of their pay per views really mean anything besides maybe like. Three of them. Even Survivor Series has kind of been bad.
It don't mean nothing, man.
You get to build up. When you only do four, you're looking at three and a half months in between.
Yeah. You make the live shows like or the TV shows a little better because you get title chains on the TV shows and you get, more stuff on TV shows.
Well, at the pay-per-views, you get true blow-off matches. The anticipation builds and you get a pay-per-view.
But I mean, so far, that's what we're getting with AEW. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had... Each week I tune in because you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. Each week feels like it could be pay-per-view quality.
Yeah.
You don't know. You get on there, you watch. One week you have, you had the tag belts change. Last week, or the week before, on the cruise ship.
Yeah,
tag belts change.
The only time.
And then like.
And I like how they're doing that too. Like they're making the, some of the shows like they had the Bass at the Beach.
Yeah,
as part of just the Dynamite show, then the cruise. It was a Dynamite show, so that's pretty neat.
Sean says maybe add two to four more. Maybe
no,
you don't think so.
No,
or two to the four. I'm sorry,
no. Two to the four.
Before they even started,
six, a six a year, four. Six a year, one in every 2 months.
I think four is right to me.
Yeah, I was saying four before they even started. Four is the number. That's it.
Alex, you're a little behind time.
Yeah, man, we watched that movie.
I've watched it a couple times.
Yeah. What is it?
The
Fighting for Family.
Fighting with Family.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it a couple of times.
It was a good movie, though, man. Awesome movie.
I've seen a couple page movies.
Yeah, I've seen. I can't believe you just said that. Okay.
We're live, and you said that.
He did. Well, not everybody's going to know what he's talking about. Hopefully. Some people. Justin Maynard. Would you like to see WWE bring back something? I wouldn't mind it, especially like the Bad Blood. Justin Maynard asked, would you like to see WWE bring back any of like their older pay-per-views, like Bad Blood, No Way Out, Vengeance? Was Great American Bash with theirs?
It was WCW's first. And
NWA started that in the 80s.
Yeah.
Well, you can call it what you want, but it's still a WWE pay-per-view.
And Sean said she's a heck of a co-star.
It is what it is,
But, it's... I'm with, everybody else. Like, there for a while at first, I was kind of excited when WWE Network came out and they split the brands and they were doing two pay-per-views a month. Yep. At first, it was great. But then after a while, they couldn't build up any storylines. So when pay-per-views came around, it was just like, I've seen this match 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that, AEW's keeping it.
They're saturated.
Yeah,
they gave you too much.
Well, you just got burnt out too.
Yeah,
you
see the same things.
You would be like, "Oh, there's another pay per view this weekend."
Yeah, and that's
you lose track.
We're gonna tune in.
You gonna come over and watch it? It's like, I don't know, man. But all right, since you asked a question about you know, WWE and their pay-per-views. You know, we got the Saudi show coming up, which is a complete joke to me. Like, there's nothing, like, that appeals at all. Like you said, it was a house show. It felt like a house show to you. Like
it's a
WrestleMania house show.
WrestleMania house show.
Yeah, to them, it's WrestleMania.
It's a house show. Yeah, it's a
to
house
the
show.
You know, over there, you know, they don't get to see it every. You know, I mean, they see it, but have a pay-per-view over there. They try to make WrestleMania Goldberg quality matches, but they don't turn out to be that.
Yeah, Goldberg versus The Fiend. I mean, that's just that's
just like you're saying, Justin.
Attraction match.
You know, they're doing the Roman Reigns and Corbin again at Saudi. And
yeah,
Sean Berger says he has one free month of WWE Network he'd like to give away.
we know how to get away with that. We get a free month every month.
Yeah. I get a free month when I need it.
Yeah.
Not every
month. It's a good pay-per-view, you know, or what we think is going to be a good pay-per-view.
The Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, about it. So, but yeah, that's just, that's the thing. Like, how many times are they going to have to put Roman Reigns and Baron Corbin in the ring together?
They don't know what they're going to do with them.
You were saying earlier, Corbin hasn't even won.
He's not won one.
I saw, somebody posted something earlier before I came. I saw it, like, a tell the tape, like, how many pay-per-view matches Roman's been in. I think it was 86, maybe.
Yeah.
One, I couldn't even remember how many championships. Of course, you know, Roman's got more of those. I don't think Baron Corbin's won anything but Andre the Giant. And I think he might have been, U.S. champ?
King of the Ring.
Well,
he was King of the Ring. Yeah,
that don't count
King
anymore.
Corbin.
It feels like a joke now. Does it not?
It all feels like a joke. But,
yeah.
You know, he did pour the dog food on Roman first.
Well, now
he's got that.
Kennel match.
Kennel match, yeah.
Apparently. It's a cage match.
I get the feeling they don't know what to do with him. I mean,
they don't know what to do with
him. You know, separate them and take them in different directions. There's no use for that. That's just killing time.
Well, we know we're going to get, because they're just killing time because we know they're going to get Roman versus The Fiend at Mania. Like, that's pretty much set in stone, I guess.
The one thing I hope.
If you beat Corbin, 12 or 13 times in a row, do you get a title shot? Is that what it is?
Apparently. Because it seems like everybody that gets to the championship has to go through Corbin.
That's what we're saying. Like, does The Fiend run through Goldberg? Do they let him take Goldberg down that much? Let The Fiend run through him, or is it like a somewhat competitive match for a little bit, and then The Fiend win?
No, you gotta let The Fiend destroy you.
Yeah,
I just part of me don't think Vince will do that to Goldberg. That's his big.
After what he done to Undertaker last year.
Goldberg ain't that big of a draw.
Goldberg.
He ain't.
It ain't like he's gonna get Brock would get mad if Vince was like, "Yeah, you gotta take a squash match." Goldberg
he did.
Probably like
Brock took a squash against Goldberg.
Yeah,
he did at SummerSlam. I mean, he was 16 seconds.
They were trying Goldberg then.
But then it was a build-up. This is a one-off match.
Goldberg can't sell tickets. I mean, it's the truth.
I don't know. It just all seems out of whack.
I think in my opinion, I think they're already wasting the build-up.
It's a Saudi thing.
Saudi, yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
It's a Saudi thing.
Seems like what Saudi wants.
I think
they need to let Goldberg shoot for the spear. Fiend catch him with the claw, and that'd be the end of it.
The Saudi people must really watch a lot of WCW tapes or something.
That's what we're getting whenever they go over there. It's,
I know.
They're all attracted to the veterans that have retired, been Hall of Fame.
Well, it was you. I think you were telling me that that's all they really watch over there.
That's
is
what
the
I've
videos.
Heard, yeah.
So that's what you've heard.
That's
so
what
it makes
I've
sense.
Heard. Like, I read that when they started doing that they were asking for wrestlers that were dead. They were wanting Vince to bring wrestlers there that was dead. You know?
That's hilarious.
That's what they said. You know, I don't know.
I'm sure it's... another good news, though, speaking of Undertaker, you know, I think we're going to get him and Sting at Mania. It's about 10 years too late, but it's still going to be a fun match.
Better late than never.
10
better
years.
Late than never.
How about 20?
Well, I know, but
that
10 years
been,
ago that would have been a good match,
yeah.
too. But now
they were still able to compete 10 years ago. Yeah. Now, I don't.
They might put on a good show.
You never know.
It might be a different style. It might be a slow, rest-hold type match.
Well, we know
it
that Undertaker is safe.
Yeah.
Sting always seemed to be safe.
Yeah.
So it could be,
Sting's in pretty good shape to be old, too. So
Taker. Taker is good shape. He just has limited mobility.
Yeah, they're not going to put on no Iron Man match.
No.
But he might give a 15, 20-minute match. It might be all right.
Justin, that's a good question. You know, The only reason they bring them back is just because Saudi wants them. Like, that's all you can say about that. Yeah.
Oil money.
And I agree with Charles Stevens there. He came in with the, you know, Goldberg can't work a match more than a few minutes. Bad booking if he beats White. I mean, that's...
No, it is bad booking.
But
right.
In my opinion, it seems like Vince is all about bad booking, in my opinion. There's a lot of stuff going on that
I don't know.
Don't make sense.
There's some good booking, too, because then, well, that would come... Because I'm pretty sure Heyman forced it down his throat. What? With the Drew McIntyre versus Brock.
Yeah, you know, it's hard. Yeah.
So that's a pretty good bookie. And then the Edge and Orton, that's going to be good.
Yeah,
but
Charlotte and Ripley.
You know, Edge is a part-time performer, so he's not going to be at every Raw. And that's going to hurt attendance because, you know, if Edge was on Raw every Monday, I'd probably tune in. But
yeah,
since,
but when he is there, it's more...
It's just a...
Yeah, it's more of until you build's better. I prefer that myself.
Them to be there?
I don't care what it is. If I see it every day, I'm sick of seeing it.
Teddy makes a good point. Sting and Taker will put a good match on over their pure nostalgia.
Oh,
just
yeah,
their
exactly.
Yeah. The draw is going to sell tickets.
People don't have chill bumps when they're...
Like, I was talking to one of my buddies,
it's
Brandon Kidd.
Match.
You know, he goes... You know, he's been to WrestleMania like 6-7 years or whatever, but Sting's his favorite wrestler. And he's the one that sent me a message about Sting being cleared medically now, because I know he got hurt, I think, the last time he wrestled. And they cleared him, and it's all looking like, you know, Sting, Taker, Mania. But he gets to see it. He's going to Mania this year. And, that's something that he'll always remember, getting to see his favorite wrestler wrestle someone like The Undertaker on the grandest stage of them all.
In a dream
match. Because Mania still is the grandest stage of them all, whether people tune in every week to WWE or not. I still watch WrestleMania every year.
Metallica, you know, they might be 30 years old, but when I went to the Metallica concert like two or three years ago, like it was amazing. So I can only imagine seeing your favorite wrestler, you know, wrestling in a match.
And I think it's a good venue to go see it. Raymond James Stadium, it's not huge, so you should have some pretty... No matter where you're sitting, you're going to have a good...
It's a cool stadium.
You're going to have a good view of it. I'm kind of hoping that Paul Burchill comes back and swings off that pirate ship they got on there. That would be great. But,
awesome.
Bring back the flip bottom.
The flip bottom.
But, you know...
What a move.
I don't know. I'm just a little... different now. WWE's kind of lost my interest. I'm like with you guys.
I think we spoke our words on WWE for today. I'm going to go on to something new. But I'm not going to talk about NWA much this week just because the show they had this week was nothing to talk about. Nick Aldis wasn't even on there, so it just was not. Wasn't a good show, but it is what it is. You know, win some, you lose some.
Yeah.
And AEW, I mean, it was a good show. The Lashing.
Great.
The Lashing was just amazing.
Made it,
it was great.
Believable. Made just it, like Jason told God. Me, you got to make it believable, and they did.
Yeah.
Did you see the whelps on the man?
Yeah.
It was insane.
You
know, we hated it. I hated it when they first come up with the idea. I was like, oh, that's miserable. That's going to be terrible.
Me too.
But then... I didn't watch it live. You know, I didn't get home till late, so I decided I was going to watch it the next day. Well, I come to work, and I was like, well, did you guys watch AEW? And Jason was like, oh, the Lashings were just incredible. And so I watched it, and it was. It was just like, man, you could feel the pain.
Yeah.
Like, and they made it so believable.
It was believable. The way the faces come out there, the way everybody came out to see it, and the way Dustin came down, and
Brandy.
Dustin was like, oh,
it was so good.
I think Arn came out too, didn't he?
Arn was.
I think he might have been the first one to come in. Yeah.
The way MJF handles himself,
but like,
the way he talks, everything's good. God, he's so good.
The one Lashing that got me, I mean, they all hurt. When I was watching it live, I was like, I don't know how anybody can do that. And, like, there was tears in his eyes. You know that's got to hurt.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, when he took that one, when he turned around and took it across the chest and across the neck, you know, and then he got low-blowed after that, which, you know, but I'm just saying it was just
–
that made it even better. But, I mean, just be able to sit there and just take that. And then, like, the next day, I think it was Brandy probably, I think, tweeted a picture of him sitting there with his dog and just looking at his back.
Yeah.
But you, like you said, if it happens, there had to be blood, and there was blood. He was, I mean, he was bleeding.
I just want to answer this question real quick. Cody Little asked us about what do we think about Brock if he wins the belt at Mania. I mean, I don't really – I'd like to see Drew win it. I think Drew needs to win it. But yeah, if Brock keeps it, I'm not going to be mad, because I've been pretty excited that Brock's been on TV. Yeah,
Brock's the man.
Yeah, so I'm not going to be mad about it. It is what it is.
Yeah, Brock's but legit.
I just wanted to answer that for you, Cody, real quick. So.
Yeah. Back to, I guess, AEW.
So the lashings kind of took the show, really, for me. Like, you didn't – like, that was the show.
I mean, it – yeah.
The honestly, Dark Order had a nice little moment, you know, when I guess Christopher Daniels came down, they didn't attack him. So
kind of making you feel like he's going to
– kind of teasing it, ain't they?
What do you think about the Dark Order? Who do you think the leader's going to
be? It's not Daniels.
I don't either.
I'm still on – kind of too obvious.
Yeah. I'm still on Brody Lee coming in, as you know, or we're not using Luke Harper anymore, so that's why I'm thinking Brody Lee.
I've heard Brody Lee's going to be with that other guy, though, on a tag team, maybe. I forget his name, but
I would like Matt Hardy myself.
Matt Hardy would be great.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's kind of, you lost a little steam on that, so could be. Like, he's kind of fell on the back burner. Matt Hardy was real big on it at first, but now it's Daniels or Brody Lee. Daniels or Brody Lee. So, you know, Matt Hardy could be.
I'm still seeing it being Christopher Daniels, and I wouldn't be mad if it was. I wouldn't be mad if it was. I'm not going to hurt my feelings. So.
And,
you know, AEW was a pretty good show, nonetheless. And, you know, like Cody said it earlier, he's like, I prefer AEW over WWE. I think we all do right now. Yeah. So.
And I agree with Charles Stevens. I think Cody and the MJF feud is feud of the year. I mean, it ain't even been right a now, year since they've done it. I mean, it was started late last year and going into this year, but, you know, I tune in every week to see where it's going.
That's what I love about AEW, too, is, like, they're drawing out these feuds so long. That's just beautiful. Even with the
– that falls back to just having four pay-per-views.
Even with your Kenny Omega and Pac, they're still in a feud.
Yep.
Maybe they're not showing it, but they're still
– when
you know Hangman's going to turn.
It's
coming.
It's just a slow burn. Slow burning, baby.
Love it. One thing I do want to bring up about AEW that I see a lot of people talking about, and that kind of gets under my skin.
You're right, everybody's, Charlie, they're actually telling stories.
People are getting upset that they're in these small venues. Like, somebody posted the other day in one of the groups I'm on Facebook, like, oh, this past week they were in a venue that seated 12,000. But guess what? There was 12,000 butts in those seats.
Yeah.
Good crowds, good show.
Smaller arenas make for better wrestling, I think.
I'm sure the people there enjoyed it more.
Oh, mm-hmm. I mean, we'd
they
seen it.
They cater to the fans.
We've seen
like
it.
Part of the show.
They cater to the fans.
But I don't see any problem with that. Why not go to these, pack them out, when you go live on TV? I mean, it looks great. Crowds into it. You can hear them. They're behind everything that's going on. I mean, I don't see a problem with that.
You don't have to have big numbers. I mean, that's –
who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
They're having good numbers.
Yeah,
their numbers are fine.
Yeah, if it's good wrestling, I'll watch it in the backyard.
There was one negative thing that was said that you told me about this week.
What?
It was about the copycat and some older storylines.
Actually, Mike told us that.
Well, thank you, Mike, for telling us that.
And he's tuning in now, so.
Anyways, you're the one who brought it to my attention. So
Mike brought it to my attention.
Mike brought it to your attention. Yeah. But me and you talked about it, and one of the things was the lashings. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's going to be time. It'll probably happen again someday.
Oh, everything's been done.
And you were talking about the spot to the eye, how the Road Warriors. Like, I never knew the Road Warriors done it, because that's what we were talking about.
Yeah.
It's like a new fan or a fan my age or younger probably doesn't even know that happened. You did.
Yeah.
You told me about it, but I didn't know before you told me.
I don't see that as them stealing ideals. I see that as them paying homage to the past. And, you know, that's what they're doing, and that's why I love it personally.
That's why, I mean, you talked about it. I mean, like, right now they fed off the East Coast, old school wrestling territories.
If you remember when they first announced the venues, I was telling you.
Yeah, they were just everywhere.
Old
school wrestling towns. I mean,
WWE hadn't been to Charleston in forever.
No, and now they're, you know, I know they're expanding.
Forgotten, but now they're back, you know.
Now they're expanding to the West Coast.
Not even a house show. Huntington was the only place WWE.
Huntington. Right. I mean, well, we went and watched WWE at Pikeville every time they're up there. Yeah. Kevin's went with us.
Man, would you love for AEW Dynamite to come to Pikeville?
AEW could have a pay per view.
AEW, come to Pikeville.
Pikeville, Kentucky, Appalachian Wireless Arena.
Yeah.
Right.
Seats
make
about 10 to 12,000, just like you like.
Yeah.
By the time you put a ring in there. And I know you would sell it out here, this big wrestling territory.
Oh, yeah. Hey, remember that lady that sat behind us at that wrestling show last time?
Which one?
It was a WWE one, obviously. It was impossible.
Can't remember.
Nah, she loved it. I've never seen a fan that much into it. It was just a house show.
I've been into a few of them.
She loved it. What's Terry talking about here? I'd rather see an old storyline like the Lashings come back rather than seeing a loser eat dog food. You're right, Teddy.
Yep, totally agree.
Totally agree.
Teddy's on point once again, yeah.
Teddy's always on point, right?
Yeah, Teddy knows wrestling.
Teddy knows wrestling.
We can't get Teddy to come on camera. I think he's camera shy.
He's camera shy, he told me. But Teddy does know wrestling. Mm-hmm. He's been a fan from way back. All right, we're going to get off AEW here, and we're going to go to the real wrestling now. We're going to talk about the real stuff. MLW.
I like MLW.
I love MLW. That's my favorite show right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I look forward to it every week more than I do anything else right now.
It's kind of a throwback show too.
Yeah, it's a throwback show too.
It reminds you of old time wrestling.
Yeah. And this week, you know, there's more good matches. I mean, they only have like 3, maybe 4 matches a show. It's only an hour long.
Yeah.
But they're always good matches. And they're, like you said, even that the Contra.
Yeah, that manager that right, is great.
The manager of that group is just on
that
fire.
That promo at the beginning was so good.
So, you had that at the beginning of the show. It was a good promo. What did you say he said?
Well, he goes a throwback. You know, he talks about, I've been to the dark corners of the earth, and I've walked down every crooked alleyway. You know,
yeah.
I like that. It's corny, and it's old, and yeah. I like it. Then he shows 2 guys in masks.
Yeah.
You know, and he don't tell you, I like that stuff. It just
is that, yeah. Like that? Was that the 2 guys that were attacking Davey Boy Smith,
yeah,
in the back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then you had like after that, the first like match, it wasn't that great, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I didn't care much for it. But then the other match, I didn't care much for the first 2 matches. But now, then you got to Davey Boy Smith, or not Davey Boy Smith, but Pillman Jr. versus
Jacob Fatu.
That match was incredible.
Yeah.
Good match.
Yeah.
Well, y'all got me into that. Y'all were talking about it. We were in a group message right before we coming down here today, and y'all were like, did you see that last night today between Pillman Jr. and Fatu? Why can't Roman be like Fatu?
Yeah.
He's got, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to go on there and get on YouTube, and I, you know, went straight to it, and it was MLW Fusion, episode 96, if anybody wants to watch
it. Yeah, all you do is type in MLW on YouTube. And usually their latest episode is the first thing to pop up.
And, you know, I watched
it. Subscribe
to see somebody. But the thing that got me, like I was talking to Dougie earlier, somebody that size of Jacob Fatu, the way he moves around in that ring. I mean,
the moonsaults.
He did like a moon. Like, I was telling you, I was excited about the moonsaults off the rope. But the one that got me was when he jumped over him, bounced off the ropes, done a standing moonsault, and landed on him. Then he done the 2 off the top rope. And
I don't know.
And it was kick pup.
Still, yeah.
Moonsaults. It wasn't just get up on the top rope and do one. He bounced off the second rope, no hands, land on the top and spin off.
That's one.
At 285 pounds. I mean,
he bounced onto the second rope, up to the top rope, and then done the moonsault. That's just
at 285 pounds.
He landed it perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So MLW, they just keep throwing fire out there. I'm excited for the next week's episode.
I'm high on Pillman Jr. I love him too.
Too.
I mean, he's just. His music gets me. Like, this is the music at the beginning. Like, his entrance music is perfect.
Oh,
I love it.
He's a star in the
making. And he's just starting. I mean,
What is he? How old is he? Like, 25?
Yeah, he ain't been in it just a short amount of time. Yeah.
But, I mean, he looks just like his dad.
Yeah.
The thing that gets me is, like, every week his matches get better. Like, even from watching it now. Like, they're recorded, all their shows are.
Yeah.
But his matches get better each week. So, you can see the progression he's making towards, and he's getting good.
Yeah.
Like, he's getting real good.
And what I liked is it looks like it's going to be Contra has got all the heels, and it's going to be face versus heels, because you've got all the good guys at the end of the show was fighting against Contra, and Contra had Injustice with them, and it just had a bigger feel to it, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier because you were talking about how it gives you that old school feel of all faces versus all heels.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty cool. And Injustice, I love that group.
Yeah, I do too.
I really enjoy them. They're something fun. All right, guys, we're halfway through the show. I'm just going to give another shout-out to our sponsors, Blue Ridge Carpentry, owned and operated by Sean Newsom, and Elite Heating and Cooling, owned and operated by Christian Francis, and his workers, Chad Hall and Zach Key, and the Christian lookalike.
Doppelganger.
So, be elite. You guys elite. Didn't do it this week. I'm upset.
That's the end of the show type of thing.
Okay, we'll do it safe for the end of the show then. So we're going to go to a new segment here. We've done the reviews. Let me answer Cody Little's question real quick.
He asked, how can MJF have two contracts, one in AEW, one in MLW? He's actually officially done with MLW. But a lot of those guys, they have a working relationship with multiple organizations. I know Jimmy Havoc's doing his thing. There's a few of them. You got Jericho still going to New Japan. Some guys have stuff worked out with AEW where they can work other promotions.
Most promotions are like
that. Yeah, I know. Like, it took so long for Wardlow to come on because he had to work his out. I can't remember. I think he was in GLW, Gladiator something wrestling. It was in Massachusetts, I think, somewhere around there. And he I watched a few of his matches there. But, AEW allows these guys to work with other promotions, but it helps draw in other talent.
Most promotions are like it. WWE is really the one that won't let you go.
I know MLW is also, it's pre-taped. Like, all these shows have already been taped for the most part.
Yeah.
And so I thought MJF's last match was last week, to be honest. But he was on this week's show, so I don't know.
Well, that was the thing. Killer Cross was on this show, but he's officially signed with WWE.
Yeah.
They cut a promo on MLW for him this week, But he's officially him and...
So
I can't tell how far it's booked or taped.
I don't really know. I know, like, Lucha Underground, they used to tape a whole season and then play it. It'd be like 10 episodes.
NWA tapes a lot, too.
Yeah, they do that a lot, too. So who knows, like, but I don't think he's still under contract with MLW, though. I think he's
fine. No, he's a fit. I know he's recorded and done, like, as far as his last match. I saw it on. He said his goodbyes and, hugged everybody and stuff and made his way out.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's halfway through the show, and we're going to start a new segment here. We're going to go a little old school talk. And this is just 30 minutes of just nothing but old school talk. And the first thing I want to bring up is just a lost art. And that was, we were talking about managers, how it's a lost art. There's just, if you don't think about it, there's only one manager I can think of right now, and that's Paul Heyman.
Or the guy from Contra.
Yep, you're right.
That's all I can think of right now. You see more valets than you do managers nowadays. It's
bodyguards.
Bodyguards, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it. A couple of days this week we brought it up and we talked about it, how we wanted to bring in some different segments and stuff. And this is one of the things we were talking about, lost art. And we brought up a lot of manager names like that used to be big time manager names.
Dime Dallas Page was one at one time.
Yeah,
you know a lot of them.
Gary Hart.
Start naming them.
Yeah, Bobby Heenan.
Just all kinds, Paul Ellering. Jim Cornette.
Jim Cornette. Producer Kevin made a good point when he said that maybe it's because these guys nowadays are getting better on the mic, so they don't need that manager. That's a good point. That could be the reasoning behind it. A lot of guys are just better at speaking now, so
I agree with that at some point, but there's still a lot out there that can't. But you look at a lot of those guys that can't talk good on the mic, they're kind of still in a group, even though there might be a singles competitor, they're still there. One that brings me up to mind was when Big Cass and Enzo were together. Enzo did all the talking, Big Cass did all the wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know. Big Cass done some talking too,
though. Now, he got out, but when he was with, WWE and stuff, Enzo did most of the talking.
Most of it, but he
Well, manager, he does talk him, but, he's also there for the match itself.
Yeah, that's what that's missing.
To draw some heat, I like a good manager. I enjoy it. He can draw.
We had Zeb Coulter, I guess. He was one of them. He was pretty good.
It opens up a lot more finishes to a match, too. Yeah. The manager can have a lot more finishes. You can do different things with him.
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Who's your favorite manager of all time?
Cornette.
I'm gonna go with Heenan or Cornette. Then, I mean, I was born in the '80s, but I watched a lot of old wrestling, and you know, Cornette and Heenan, or Jimmy. You know, Jimmy Hart was with a lot of wrestlers too. I mean, it was those three guys when I was growing up watching old wrestling, work my way into it. Yeah. Those three were with somebody at some point, like during everything I watched. You know. I remember, I'm pretty sure Cornette was with Jarrett at one point, wasn't he? Who was Jarrett's, actually Jeff Jarrett's, who was his manager in WWE when he was Double J?
Road Dogg.
And there was another one, there was an older gentleman that was with him, yeah. He had, I'm trying to think what his name is. Because when he was doing the, when he come out and sing and everything in WWE, I cannot think of his name.
I know Road Dogg was on.
The only one I can remember is Road Dogg.
I'm going to have to find out if somebody could research that for me and let me know.
I throw Mr. Fuji out there. Oh, yeah, Mr. Fuji.
Yeah, with Yokozuna.
Paul Bearer.
Fuji. Oh.
We're forgetting about Paul Bearer.
Paul Bearer.
He's probably my favorite of all time.
I like Paul Bearer.
Tennessee Lee. Teddy coming in with the with the win there.
Yeah, who it was?
Yep.
See, I don't know.
See, I remember that guy.
Teddy Googled that one. He did not know that.
I know Kevin was on it, too, over here. Producer Kevin was on it, too. I asked somebody to research it for me. But I knew there was another gentleman with him. I just could not think of it. I mean, it was there.
Teddy, Roman, I don't think a manager would have saved his career.
Yeah.
He's saying Roman should have had a manager when he was coming up as a singles.
Yeah, I mean,
if anybody would like to go back and tune
he's not
in,
not a good wrestler either, though.
Old NXT when Roman was a heel, when he wore a suit, hair in a ponytail.
Yeah,
dude could talk for himself on the mic, but then when he brought up with the Shield, it kind of just
It showed, you know, Steve Austin will show you that a gimmick can make or break you.
Yeah,
Lord, you know, you're right.
Roman, if Roman had a better gimmick, I don't know. You know, you just don't know.
You're right. If he had a better gimmick, we might love him.
Yeah.
I think the gimmick just kills him.
Yeah.
What was
he's got his own gimmick, the Roman Reigns gimmick. I don't like it.
Big dog. Trying to think of another
big dog.
Can't even think of his name though. In TNA, another manager that was pretty good with Team Canada, and I can't think of his name either. But Team Canada, I was a big TNA fan.
I don't know what you're talking about. But
Team Canada's manager, he was really good too, because I know at that time they had like.
Was Raven a manager?
Really? He was
Raven's Flock.
He was Raven's Flock. Well, was it
Johnny Flamingo?
Johnny Flamingo.
Johnny Polo.
So.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
That's so another one gimmick.
Scott DeMore
was a good manager in TNA with Team Canada.
I don't even know. Who
actually, Paul, or did we say Paul Erling? That was Abyss's manager. What? No, who was Abyss's manager?
I don't know.
Now he's with.
I know who you're talking about. Biss had a manager too. Who was it, Kev?
Biss's manager. Now he's a manager for the
Abyss.
Biss's manager
for TNA.
He's a manager now for Sister Mary, I believe, in Impact or something like that. Or
Real creepy guy. Yeah, that's not Paul Erring, but I don't know who you're talking about. I can't think of that guy's name.
He also was the manager for that guy.
Don Callis.
Judas Priest, remember him?
You have Judas Priest, and you had Relic, which was Killer spelled backwards.
Yeah.
Feuded a while with which Relic was Johnny, he was Pitbull in WCW. That was him. He just had a mask on.
Yeah. TNA, man, they had some good stuff back in the day.
I loved it. I mean, I'm wearing the shirt right now.
He does have a beer money shirt on.
WWBD.
That's it. But I would like to see some managers. I mean,
I wouldn't mind it one bit.
Yeah.
Another thing we were talking about, a lost art, was the grappling.
Rest holds.
A rest hold, yeah.
You'll probably see that in the Sting Undertaker match.
You should.
You'd have to. I don't. They're not going to be doing moonsaults.
I know you see it a lot in MLW. You do.
It seems more realistic. You know, you need them, I think.
Like we were talking about, you know, you see it in New Japan, but like I said, they're their own beast over there.
Yeah,
so.
See with, everything over there.
With those rest holds, you used to see a lot more submission victories when you had those. You don't really see that anymore. There's not a lot of submission victories anymore when you watch, you know, pro wrestling right now. As far as what's on TV, you'll see it like in the indies and stuff, but like even Jericho using, you know, the walls. Mm-hmm. When's he didn't really, he's never tapped anybody out. MJF threw the towel in on, you know, you don't see submission victories hardly anymore.
You really don't.
A lot of flipping and flopping now.
Yeah.
Yep, it's a lot of flipping and flopping.
You know, I still watch it. I still like it.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But I remember watching, like we were talking about, you'd see somebody go into sleeper hold. You'd go to commercial. You'd come back. They're still in the sleeper hold.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like back then, too, everybody had a submission, like, finisher, at least.
Yeah.
Or well, a good percentage of you guys did.
You know, with some the kind of, with those rest holds and sleepers, that gives the audience and the fans a chance to be a part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of, like, for Hogan, slow a lot burn of his thing was the Hulk up. You'd put him in a headlock, and the fans start screaming, Hogan. You see him start shaking. He start coming alive. People like that. You know, they, yeah, they're invested. They're part of the show then.
You used to have that's a segment with now it. I mean, WWE ran the Master Lock Challenge for how long?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People come out and sit down in a, yep, you know, sit down, yeah, in a chair and let Chris Masters put the Master Lock on them and see if they could break, yeah, out of it.
Now it's more of just watching it and kind, yeah, of being in awe.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't believe he did that, you know.
Can't believe he did, yeah, that flip.
But the there's awe more effect to it. There's more, yeah, to wrestling than just that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could go 100 different ways with wrestling, really. Yeah. I mean, you could go with the yeah, rest holds.
Yeah.
You can go with the high flying. These days you definitely can because there's, yeah, just so many, so much variety now.
Oh,
I just, so, yeah.
Craig making me mad right now.
Who?
It was your fault, Craig.
Oh, Craig, you going to bring that up? We talked about that a couple weeks ago,
yeah.
Craig, our buddy. Remember when we told you that he causes to miss the Undertaker at Applebee's?
Yeah.
Well, he
just mentioned it, saying Dougie was the one that made us do it. No, you had to go to Hibbett.
You had to go to Hibbett's, Craig. Yeah.
Probably buy another Kentucky shirt. I don't know. Or Science Olympiad shirt.
Science Olympiad shirt.
I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime.
You still have the Science Olympiad shirt, Craig? I bet you do. He used to have this one shirt, a Science Olympiad shirt. And he wore it, like, under everything. It was a white T-shirt. You know, kind of like you got a white T-shirt, yeah, on. He wore it under everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're talking about lost art, you know, managers. Stables. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're starting to make a comeback now.
Well,
I mean, big stables.
There's just not been any good ones in a long time.
You guys are the stable guys.
Yeah, I'm a faction,
big
man.
Stables.
I love a good faction.
I mean, we named off 20 right off our head the other day, you know, back in the day. I mean, you know, 20, like, ones you tuned in to watch. Like, there's not really many. Inner Circle right now, but, yeah, like.
Well, back in WCW, they were like the faction kings.
It was, yeah. I mean, I named them off. We had, what,
Misfits.
NWO Wolfpack, Four Horsemen.
Misfits in Action.
Yeah. LWO.
Team Canada. There was more.
What was Kevin Sullivan's?
Dungeon of Doom.
Ravens Flock.
I mean, it was just.
Kill the Animals.
Yeah. I mean, it was.
And there was like 15 NWO.
NWO 2000, NWO Black and Silver.
Misfits in Action. You had
Hugh Morris.
What was his name, though? Private. Or no, it was General.
General Rection.
General
G.I. Bro. That was Booker T. Lieutenant.
New Blood.
Yeah,
what's New Blood?
That was Major Bones. That was a good one. Produced.
I don't remember that one.
It was towards the end of it.
Who was it? Oh, God! I know who you're talking about now. I just seen a video.
Shane Douglas.
Yeah.
Jeff Jarrett.
Right.
Maybe Vampiro. Can't really remember. That was towards the end of it, though. That's when Russo was doing everything.
But you had a lot going on back then. I mean, you had, you know, a bunch going on as far as stable. I mean, even WWE had them at the same time, too. You know, you had the Ministry, the Brood.
The Oddities.
Nation of Domination, DX.
That was a good stable, Nation of Domination.
Nation of Domination was one of my favorite factions.
Rites of Censorship.
Yeah.
I mean.
They had Godfather.
The Good Father.
Yeah.
That was good. I mean, I like that stuff. I mean, I like the stable. I think you have to have at least a couple of stables, I think.
I tell you one of my favorite of all time, like Evolution.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
I love Evolution.
Yeah. I think Evolution ranks up there with the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
I mean, look who was in it.
What come out of that?
Well,
all Hall of Famers.
And while it was happening, you could tell that was different. Those four were different than the rest.
They just all come out. Be honest with you, man. They had a killer.
They looked the part. They made they were believable.
Killer entrance music, man.
Yeah.
But you had them, and you got Evolution. You look at them. Every single member, double-digit world champions.
Oh yeah.
They're not just any championship. They're all world champions.
Well, they said it when they made the group. You know, they were like, well, of course you had Triple H and Ric Flair, but. Bautista and Randy Orton were handpicked by the both of them, you know, to be part of that group. You know, so they kind of owe a lot to Triple H and Ric Flair for boosting their careers.
Yeah.
But I still think Randy would have made it without them. But I don't know if Bautista. I don't know if he would have made it without the Evolution. If he would have really caught on, do you think so?
You never know. I don't really.
He fit the bill for Vince. He was gonna be a champ one way or another.
It just seemed like
it definitely helped him.
Yeah, it helped him being with them. But he was gonna be a world champ, regardless.
Probably.
I mean, he was Devon's Deacon Batista before he was in the Evolution. So I mean, he was.
I wonder if he would have continued to get those kind of gimmicks, like just being somebody's bodyguard.
Could have been.
That's what I'm saying. He could have.
There's some big guys that just never
made
it.
I mean,
right
now, Big E.
Big E
kind of falling.
Gene Snitsky or whatever.
Yeah.
Or what was that?
Gene
Dupree. Snitsky. Remember Dupree?
Yeah, Rene Dupree.
He never made it.
Hey, I did see him at Burger King, even though we didn't get to see Undertaker, Craig. So that's okay. And Simon
that
Dean.
That was a bad trade there.
Imagine it was a bad trade off. So, yeah, you definitely, I mean, factions are a big deal for me and you for sure.
I mean, I like
them. We love them. And AEW's taking advantage of them, you know.
Yeah.
We got the...
You got the Nightmare Family.
Nightmare Family, Dark Order.
Nightmare Coalition.
Nightmare Coalition is just dumb.
But it's still a faction at the time.
Do you call the Elite a faction?
I mean, there's four of them.
Would they be?
Or five of them, I guess, if you count Cody with them.
Are they a real show faction, though? Or are they just – because they're more like a real life. Like,
They got their own interest music.
But
they do, but
– even though Hangman don't like it.
I don't know. I really don't want to watch you clarify that. Maybe, you know – kayfabe, they're probably a stable, but they don't really push it on the show, so I don't.
Well, last week they were together. Next week I think they're together.
They came out for the Cody Lash, you know.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying?
They consider them the Elite on the show, so I mean.
Well, yeah, I guess would.
I guess they're a faction.
When one of them really is in danger, they come out to help. That's what I like about AEW, too.
Well,
in WWE, if a guy gets attacked, it's over. He just gets beat up and left.
Jason Adams asked if our opinions on Goldberg versus The Fiend. We discussed that earlier, Jason, and we all think it's terrible. Like, it has to be a squash match pretty much for it to make any sense on Fiend beating Goldberg.
Yeah, Fiend needs to do that.
It's definitely a bad decision, but as long as The Fiend squashes Goldberg, there's no harm in it. But let's get back to the we were talking about the factions and stuff, and I just want to talk about something. I forgot now.
Trying to think,
it was the factions.
I would consider
I was
going to
ask
horsemen.
You guys who your favorite faction is of all time.
Four Horsemen.
You got Four Horsemen?
The original faction.
I saw them in WCW, but they were around before then.
Yeah.
So growing up,
it still was pretty cool in WCW though.
But it's not the same.
Not
that's what I'm saying. In my opinion, what I loved growing up was it's either DX or NWO is what I grew up seeing every week. That was my Monday Night Wars. I was watching what NWO was doing on WCW. I was watching what DX was doing here. DX invading WCW. And, those were the two factions. Nation's probably right behind them. I like the Nation of Domination.
I did.
I like them.
They were cool.
But those two factions, me growing up, that's when I was in my prime watching wrestling. Like every week I tuned in to Monday to see what was going on, even though I wasn't allowed to watch WWE or WWF at the time. But that's what the flashback button is for on your remotes. Anybody that remembers that, you could – set it on both, and I'd flash back when I hear the parents coming in. I'd turn it to WCW, and then I'd turn back to WWF. But those two factions, to me, are my two favorite.
Jason Adams says he'd like to see NWO reform with Joe and Owens feuding with Rollins, AOP, and Murphy. I definitely like He says, I guess he wants to, like, NWO, a new NWO with Samoa Joe and Owens. I don't mind Samoa Joe and Owens and maybe, like, two other people coming in there, making, like, some kind of little faction. But the NWO never needs to be brought back. They need to keep that on the back burners.
Just for maybe an attraction.
Maybe, or the actual guys.
Yeah, bring them out and just for an attraction. Yeah. But no, not reform.
I think he was just saying NWO, like the
just
name.
Just rename? No, yeah. Never rename nothing like that. I don't agree with it.
Yeah, I think he's going to do a match at Mania, Cody. And, yeah, he'll definitely come back for a few years. I mean, he's still pretty young. He's going to.
Well, like you were saying,
he could. Jason said have Hogan as manager. I mean, I wouldn't hate that.
Who?
Like have, or he's saying have Hogan as manager of the NWO. It'd be like, I mean, I just think they got to keep
that. Everybody's got an opinion, you know.
I think they got to keep that in the vault.
Yeah. I think what I saw was a Cena versus a Dream match was a Dream match against the Dream. Is what I saw, like, is what they're trying to push right now. John Cena versus Velveteen at Mania is something that's been brought up. Yeah, I could definitely get behind that. And Cena would probably put him over, I think. Cena's been known to put some guys over. He squashed some guys, but he has put some guys over as well. So I could see that.
The ones he squashed didn't matter anyway.
The ones he squashed is who he's told to squash.
Yeah. But, like, he put Owens over, and Owens went on to be Universal Champ. Yeah. But –
no, Cody, he's a WWE guy for life. You'll never see him outside of WWE.
No. But I would love to see Velveteen Dream, you know, get a good push.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this question. NWO or Bullet Club?
Bullet Club.
Bullet Club.
Even Kevin Producer said Bullet Club. They work. They are like.
Which Bullet Club?
Which leader?
I would have to go with Finn and AJ. Well, I don't know any of the leaders. Right. I liked them all the way up to Kenny, to be honest.
Yes, all of the above.
All
the right,
above.
The right answer.
The right answer here. So
you're saying Jay White's out?
Well, I don't know. Hey, they're my
Jay White's my least favorite. I mean, that's the truth.
Out of the leaders, yeah. Now, do I love Jay White? Yeah. Heck yeah. I can't wait till he comes over here sometime.
WrestleMania weekend,
he's
going to
be over here WrestleMania weekend, yep. Wrestling, I guess, Marty Scurll.
Yep.
So I guess he's kind of got a little bit of a faction going on with the villain.
Villain Enterprise.
It's kind of a little faction.
There's a lot of factions across.
The
indie or the smaller promotions. I'm not like they're
I guess
not all
like social media now and stuff. It's like they're bringing it outside of like just in the ring. Like back then, you know, NWO was just like kind of a on TV. Gimmick, but I feel like now, like the Elite, you know, they got their own TV show, you know, and their own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And what was MJF had a little faction in MLW.
Yeah, he's got one MLW.
And
then Bullet Club, even they were like when the Young Bucks were with them, especially, and Kenny and all of them, you know, it wasn't just a New Japan thing. They were making it like, T-shirt thing and everything. So they had fun with it. And that's kind of how Villain Enterprise is doing. Marty's doing with Villain Enterprise. So.
Yeah. Different time, ain't it?
Yep. It's definitely a different time. Jason Adams says the original Bullet Club with Devitt, Anderson, Gallows, and Young Bucks. Yeah. I mean, you can't go wrong there.
Yeah, it was good.
Like we said, they're all.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at you.
They've all been great.
AJ, Kenny, Finn.
AJ, Kenny.
Jay White. They're all good.
Another faction.
Hey,
Fortune. Even, in TNA. Yeah. And that was AJ.
Oh, no.
AJ was in Fortune, wasn't he?
You also had.
Yeah, he was. He was in Fortune with, I think it was Rude.
Yeah.
And Kazarian. And main event. Flair was main there. Event and then Mafia. Main Event Mafia there.
Yeah.
I mean, Sting, you know, Sting.
Kurt Angle.
Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
Nash.
Steiner.
Hey, Scott Steiner, he is underrated.
Promo machine. Scott Steiner's a promo machine.
If you guys haven't ever watched it, go on YouTube and search Scott Steiner's TNA promo.
He got a 33% chance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great.
He's like, I got to. Oh, man. You just got
to
watch it.
Together, and it's 106% of whooping you.
Yep.
this TNA Scott Steiner mm-hmm. math promo. It was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Good work.
That's good. I love a good promo.
I was gonna bring that up. Like, let's think of some who we got as our best promo guys.
Right
the
now?
Rock. No, just all time.
The Rock.
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair.
In his heyday, Ric Flair was unbeatable.
I would say 1-2 for me is Rick and Rock.
Yeah, I agree.
Jericho.
Jericho's up there.
Yeah, MJF.
He's good.
Right now.
Yeah.
Up there. MJF, even as young as he is, he's getting some.
MJF's good.
He's got a lot to prove. But
there's a lot of good promo guys.
Yeah, there's always
really
been a lot of good promo guys, though.
John Cena's good, too.
Yeah,
John Cena was absolutely good at promos.
Even Stone Cold. CM Punk.
CM
Punk for one. The pipe bomb promo, I mean.
Actually, speaking on that, Scott Steiner, this guy, or Jason just said that Steiner would make a good math teacher. I think somebody actually done that, went back and watched the whole promo and done the math to it, and he was, like, correct on every bit of it. That's how good it was.
I like a bad promo,
He was
promo
actually
too.
Correct with it all.
I like a bad promo, too.
Yeah.
I like promos that are so bad they're just cringy.
Didn't you you tell me about those guys on YouTube?
Oh yeah.
The comedians that watch the bad promos.
Jumpin' Jay Farmer is one of the best bad promos. Sid Vicious puts on some bad promos.
Oh yeah.
Sid Vicious was bad.
The classic line. You know?
Yeah, Sid, and that was who's it gonna Nash when he was talking to Nash. Oh, it was I know what you're talking about.
I got half the brain that you got. That's a great promo.
That's great.
I got
Matt Stryker. That's a name you hadn't seen in a while, but he did put on some good promos when he was in ECW when it first came out, when he was doing the teacher row.
Oh, yeah.
With the blackboard.
Yeah.
Matt Stryker was all right.
Damian Sandow / Aaron Stevens now.
Hey, he's good.
Nick Aldis,
yeah.
Yeah, Nick Aldis knows how to put on an old classic.
He's a classic
promo.
Yeah.
Marty Scrolls.
Marty.
Yeah, good
Marty
promos.
Even Cody's promos now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're
he's so much improved.
He really is, man. Like, from his WWE days till now, he's just 100% different. Well, I mean, he's not restricted. So.
It makes you wonder what could they, you know, like, what could WWE do if they just, you know, cut them loose and let everybody have their own promo.
God.
I mean,
just be.
That's how you make superstars.
Yeah.
They let that happen. Well, one time that you know of for a fact was when Austin dropped the Austin 316 line. I mean.
Oh, it used to be the way it was.
Well, yeah, I mean, but they don't let anybody do that now.
No.
I mean, it's just.
Something. I don't know if whether they're a publicly traded company or what happened. I'm not for sure.
I think that's what it is. Like, there's a lot of, like, board members now.
Yeah, you can go back and go to YouTube and watch the old, you know, they just said whatever they wanted to say. They cut their own promos. God. Some of them was awful, but some of them was good.
That's like
The Rock would say so much stuff. You'd be
go
cringing.
Listen to some of the Iron Sheik stuff.
Oh, well, yeah, that's
Iron Sheik says stuff you can't say no more.
No, that's true. We watched a few of those. Or do stuff in the ring you're not allowed to do.
Understand.
Hey, the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man together.
Oh, it's
some of the best promos I've ever heard in my life.
I'm telling you, the Warriors promo he cut on Hogan was great.
Yeah.
About hijacking the plane and taking it a nose drive into Warriorville. I mean, that's just good.
off the chain promos.
Yeah.
Well, do our fans have any questions for us in this last remaining minutes here? I just want to thank you all for watching, you know. I know Jason Adams, Cody Little, they've been on here.
Yep.
Chit-chatting with us.
Teddy.
Appreciate them. Teddy's been on here.
Adam Newsom coming
Adam
in
Newsom
with some stuff.
In.
Craig
so,
Cooley.
Congratulations, Adam.
Craig just on here trolling us. But
Charles Stevens.
You, Craig.
He was the first one to comment earlier on the
Gary Dameron's watching.
Gary Dameron,
Gary.
Mike.
We actually –
Thank you for watching, Mike.
I want to try to go to that ASW show on March 8th.
It's 7th, actually.
It's 7th, yeah, you're right.
The Enforcer Show.
Yeah. I really want to try to go to that if you guys are down.
If you don't know what that is, it's in ASW is an independent wrestling organization Gary Dameron owns. It's in Madison, West Virginia, I believe.
Yep.
And they've got a show, I think, March 7th.
Madison Civic Center.
At the Madison Civic Center. And I know Arn Anderson's going to be there and ODB.
Yep.
And then I know, I think Rocky Rage, who was their former champion, and he's going to be there. David Anthony is wrestling there. He's wrestled for BCW a few times. I mean, there's some people to go see there, and they had a show, what was it? It was last weekend they had one, and from what I saw, some pictures, Boogeyman, Matt Sedell were there.
It was a good crowd.
Crowd.
Looks like they got an anniversary show coming up sometime soon, too.
Yeah, I shared it earlier.
Looks like they put on a good product. I mean, it just looks good.
And I think that Rocky Rage has his own wrestling school. I think I shared that on our page, too. So it's.
Have you seen, like, the Scoutmaster guy on there?
Yeah, I seen it. He looks like a
cool gimmick. I like it. It looks like awesome.
Scoutmaster,
it looks like a Scoutmaster, but
I like anything original.
I'd like to watch him in the ring, see what he does. Ever have an error like Attitude Era again? It might become a little bit less PG, but I don't ever see it going back straight to that Attitude Era.
No.
Yeah, it just
publicly traded company.
Yeah, publicly traded company now, and just.
Yeah, you got stockholders to
take
care
of. It's 2020. People get offended too much. So,
if you want to watch Attitude Era stuff turn into AEW, it's TV-14.
Yeah,
you get some good stuff on there.
They're not nothing as hardcore as the Attitude Era was, but you want to watch it? Just watch Impact. You know, they're having
they got some weird stuff going on there.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it at all. No. NWA is fired, Jason Adams. We love it. It wasn't that great this week, but, you know, like we said, can't win them every week.
I wasn't really a big fan of Attitude Era myself.
I mean, I was a WCW guy, like, for a big portion of it. And
I liked the Ruthless Aggression Era.
That's really when I really liked that one. I watched a lot of it. I kind of fell apart for about 5 or 6 years. I didn't watch enough.
Attitude Era is what I grew up on.
TNA.
Yeah.
That was the Monday Night Wars, Attitude Era versus WCW.
It was just too much shock value, you know, just off the cuff.
Well, you were also,
older.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't. It wasn't.
Like 50 years old, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 50 years old, 50 years ago.
Yeah, he was.
So you're about 100 now.
So
you look pretty good for a 100-year-old.
About to hit triple digits.
Still working. Still grinding.
Still working.
All right, guys. I just want to give another shout-out to our sponsors, Blue Ridge Carpentry, owned and operated by Sean Newsom. If you guys need a free estimate, just give him a call at 606-230-9566. And also, Delete Heating and Cooling. If you guys need any HVAC needs or any refrigeration needs, give them a call at
606-886-3535. B-Elite.
Come down to the Pig and a Poke and get you some ribs.
Yeah, also other sponsors, Pressenburg Pig and a Poke and High Tech Signs and Graphics. You know, if you want to come get some good food, just come down here to Pig and a Poke. If you need a sign made, T-shirt made, trophy made, hats made, it about don't matter. Just go to High Tech. We'll make it.
Yeah, they can put a sticker on anything down there.
Yeah, they'll put a sticker on anything. That's it, guys. We're done. I'm calling it booked.
Oh, have we been booked?
We've been booked.
See you next week.